Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. See you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power as we sing, holy, holy, holy. And lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. You are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. And lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you.
It's our prayer that God will open up our eyes that we may see him in all his goodness and all his glory for all he is. You know, not only am I reminded in this passage of when Isaiah saw God exalted in his holy temple, but I'm reminded of what Moses prayed. Lord, show me your ways. Show me your glory. You know what's amazing? God said, I will let all my goodness pass before you. Moses saw God for who he is. He saw God in his mercy and his love and his goodness and his justice. But that should be our prayer, our desire, that God will open our hearts that we may see him, that we may see his ways, and he may show us his glory. Amen. Pray everybody had a great week. And I'm looking forward to what God has led me to share my heart for you today. I want to talk about manifestations of God, how God reveals himself. Particularly one manifestation that we need to see in this chaotic world that we're living in today. But you know, when you think about God's grace is his favor. Nothing that we can do to earn salvation, to earn his acceptance, to gain his approval. God sent His Son to live a perfect life down here on earth, to pay the ultimate price for our sins, so that we may be reconciled to Him. And our acceptance of all that He did for us by faith is all that's required. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. We are saved by God's grace through faith. But you know what's amazing? Not only does God's grace save us, but it keeps us on our journey with Him. And we're going to be looking at a man today who was graciously gifted of God, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit to be His prophet, to be His servant. And like us, he was far from perfect himself. That's why all of us are in need of God's grace. We're in need of God's long-suffering, His patience. And thank God that He is patient with us. Thank God that He does extend His mercy to us. But before we get into God's Word, let's go before Him in prayer and draw strength from His Spirit. Heavenly Father, we come before You in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank You for who You are. We ask that You will open up our eyes, our hearts, to You and to Your Word. Ask that Your Holy Spirit will help us to be doers of Your Word, not just hearers only. And anoint me in rightly dividing Your Word of truth for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to go back to the Old Testament today. Foundational passage is going to be 1 Kings 19:11-13. Then he said, this is God speaking to the prophet Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know, Elijah was one of the most well-known prophets that we read about in God's Word. And you see references of him many times in both the Old and the New Testament. In fact, John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And we read in the Old Testament book of Malachi that in the last days, there will also come someone in the power and spirit of Elijah. And we believe that'll be one of the witnesses during the tribulation period. But Elijah himself was powerfully anointed by God to be his prophet, to be his servant. In the northern kingdom of Israel, during the time when wicked Ahab and Jezebel ruled, and the Holy Spirit gave him the boldness to confront this King Ahab, to tell him that there would be a drought in the land because of his wickedness and the wickedness of the people of Israel. And it happened just as the prophet said. But you look at the mighty hand of God that was on Elijah. Look at the move of God that he witnessed, that he experienced, that he was part of in his day. And you know, God protected him during this time of drought. He had ravens to feed him. Remember the time when the oil never ran out for this widowed woman and her son because she provided for the prophet Elijah? And how God worked through Elijah to raise this same woman's son from the dead? And remember the revival that broke out on Mount Carmel when the fire of God came down from heaven to burn up Elijah's sacrifice. How the people finally turned away from Baal back to God because they witnessed this. And Elijah witnessed it. He was a part of this powerful revival. Wouldn't you have loved to witness that? Then the rains came. After Elijah prayed for so many years, there was drought in the land. Finally, the rains came. You think of all that Elijah witnessed by the mighty hand of God. You think of the boldness that the Holy Spirit gave him to confront King Ahab, to confront the prophets of this false god. He was on a mountaintop. but how quickly he was about to plunge into a valley, and how quickly his attitude changed. One threat from this demonic Jezebel, and he ran. Forgetting all that God had done for him before. And how often do we do that? He was consumed with doubt, with fear, with despair. He was in such deep depression, he actually even ran and pleaded that God would take his life. He ran so far, he finally had to stop at a place and rest. But just to show you how patient and merciful God is, he never gave up on Elijah. He even had an angel feed him to strengthen him to travel on to the place God wanted him to be to reveal himself to Elijah. But the place that Elijah stopped and rested, if you read in Exodus 33, it was the same mountain that God showed his glory to Moses, probably that same cave area. You know, it's no coincidence that Elijah was exactly where God wanted him to be. And God was still showing him, I'm still leading you. I'm still with you. No matter the dark times we go through, God reminds us he never leaves his people. He never forsakes us. If we don't leave him, if we don't quit on him, he won't quit on us. And he didn't quit with Elijah. But he brought him to a place where he was going to reveal himself to Elijah. You look at the Apostle John. He was exactly where God wanted him, on the Isle of Patmos, when he received that glorious revelation that we have in the book of Revelation. Whatever situations and circumstances we go through in life, God always places us exactly where he wants us to be. So, like with Elijah, he can reveal himself. He can speak to us. That's when God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? And God knew. God a lot of times asks questions that on the surface seem obvious, but they're spiritual significance. God, I think, wanted Elijah to open up all his doubts, all his fears, where he was spiritually at the moment. And you never heard such a whiner, such a complainer. I mean, if you want to know how to throw a pity party, read 1 Kings 19:10. As if God didn't already know, Elijah was talking about how hard he had served God, how hard he had been working for him, how zealous he had been for God. He's the only one left. How many of us feel that way sometimes? But this is where God is about to show himself to Elijah in a way I guarantee you he'll never forget. You see, God manifests himself to a people who are able, who are willing, who are obedient servants of his. You read on the life of Elijah. Elijah obeyed what God told him, just like coming up on the mountain so God can reveal himself, so he can pass by him. Elijah obeyed. God told Moses to go in the cleft of the rock. Moses obeyed. If we want to see God, if we want God to reveal himself to us, we have to be willing and obedient servants of his, just like these men were. Even when it don't make sense of what God tells us to do. Another thing we see is that God manifests himself to us in ways we can't foresee, in ways we can't fully understand. I mean, you would think God would have revealed his glory to Elijah in the same way he revealed his glory to Moses. He's the same God, but he manifests himself in different ways. He reveals himself to who he chooses, however he chooses to do it. That's why he's sovereign. Sometimes he's a God of pattern. Sometimes he's unpredictable. But the first thing Elijah experienced on this mountain was a windstorm. I mean, it wasn't just a gentle breeze. No, no, no. This was a powerful windstorm. Some people said that this was a vision Elijah had received, but the Bible don't say that. I think it was a literal windstorm. I mean, when it can shatter rocks, that's powerful. To say the least, hurricane force winds. But God wasn't found in the wind. Now, God did use wind quite a bit throughout Scripture. He did reveal himself like that. Do you remember in Exodus 14, he used an east wind to part the Red Sea for the children of Israel to cross on dry ground. He used a wind when the children of Israel were in the wilderness to drive in the quail. And Elijah himself experienced a mighty wind before the rains came. Then later on in Acts chapter 2, the believers heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind in the upper room when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So God did reveal himself by way of wind many times. And Elijah may have thought at first this was God revealing himself, because it occurred immediately after he went on the mountain. But somehow, he knew that it wasn't eventually. And I don't know how long after that, but then Elijah experienced an earthquake. I don't know the magnitude, but it was an earthquake nonetheless. Now in the past, again, God revealed himself by way of earthquakes. Read in Exodus chapter 19 how God manifested himself. And remember, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, earthquakes occurred. There will be earthquakes that will occur during the tribulation, especially the major one that's known as the wrath of the Lamb that will occur globally. So God does reveal himself in acts of judgment, such as earthquakes. But apparently in this instance, Elijah knew he wasn't in the earthquake. Now, I'm sure by this point, Elijah was saying, well, this is fun. Well, what's the point? And the next came fire. And again, God has revealed himself by way of fire many times. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. Look again in Exodus 19. God revealed himself to the children of Israel by way of fire. And look at how God guided them through the wilderness, cloud by day and fire by night. Fire came down from heaven to consume Elijah's offering on Mount Carmel. Then again, later on in the upper room, not only did the believer experience the wind, but tongues of flaming fire rested on each of them as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There will be fire that will destroy this present heavens and earth before the new is created. Holy Spirit through Peter tells us this. So yeah, God has revealed himself by way of fire many times, but obviously in this instance, along with the wind and the earthquake, Elijah knew God wasn't speaking to him in these three things. But the manifestation that was about to occur, Elijah had never experienced before. In fact, a lot of God's people at that time never did, because you read in the psalmist how it describes God's word as powerful, as majestic. But when Elijah heard this whisper, this still small voice, he knew it was the Lord. Something else we need to understand. God manifests himself to people. And a lot of times when he does so, we do and should respond like Elijah, in reverence. You know, when Elijah heard this, he knew it was God. He knew he was in the presence of God, and he covered his face. Moses did the same thing. In fact, God even told him to take off his sandals, for where he was standing was holy ground. So taking off things, covering your face, these are expressions of reverence before God. Another way to express reverence, remember later on, Peter at the catching of so many fish knew he was in the presence of God. And that's when he told Jesus, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinner." Isaiah experienced a manifestation of God. That's when he said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." When John saw Jesus in all of his glory, we read in the book of Revelation, he fell prostrate on his face. Elijah reacted the same way when he saw this glorious manifestation of God. You know, that reminds me of that song, "I Can Only Imagine." "Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah, or will I be able to speak at all?" How will we react when we're in the presence of a holy God? And then God revealed to Elijah the task that he was to participate in that was coming up. Part of it was going to be that God would use him to anoint his successor, Elisha. But I find it interesting that while God was revealing to him this task, he was gently reminding Elijah, I hadn't left you, I haven't forsaken you, and no, you're not the only one left serving me. But God manifests himself in different ways. He's the same God, but he manifests himself in different ways, depending on the circumstances and seasons in our life. God manifested himself to Moses in a burning bush. His glory was revealed to the children of Israel through a cloud by day and fire by night when he guided them, smoke, etc. And when Jesus was here on earth, that's how God manifested himself then. Now he manifests himself, for the most part, by way of the Holy Spirit who's within us, who guides us, who empowers us, who counsels us, who teaches us, and thank God for the Holy Spirit. But now God still manifests himself in a variety of ways, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is a lot of times unpredictable. I go back to what Isaiah said, my ways and thoughts are higher than yours. God reveals himself in good times and in bad times. And just like with Elijah, it was at a time when he was so discouraged. This bold, once powerful man of God had sunk into such deep, dark depression. And I remember hearing a quote one time pertaining to this particular event in Elijah's life and ministry. I don't recall who it was. I think it was R.T. Kendall in his book on Elijah, but he said this. He said that in these moments, we don't find God. He finds us. You know, God could have rebuked Elijah. He could have done so many things. He could have said, you want to quit? Go ahead. But God pursued Elijah. Just like God pursues us in such times of despair, even when we feel like just crawling into a cave and quitting ourselves. But you know, God was not in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. For one thing, these things in themselves don't have divine power. Another thing, that's not what Elijah needed at that phase of his life. Just like us, Elijah had known and he's seen and he read on and he witnessed God and wind and earthquake and fire. And God still reveals himself in acts of judgment, in rebuke. And there are times, as God's people, we need his hand of rebuke and correction. And Elijah knew that side of God. He knew the wind, the fire, the earthquake. He knew the God of rebuke. He knew the God of judgment. He knew the God of purifying fire, of the fire of judgment. But he was going through a storm in his life at this moment. And God knew that's not what he needed right now. He needed that peace, that calm, that I believe only that still small voice gave him. There is so much that we don't know about God. So much that he hasn't revealed to us. And I don't think we'll ever quit learning about God. I don't think we'll ever quit receiving manifestations and revelations new. Now, it has to line up with God's word. I'm not saying just any old weird thing, any weird goings-on that people claim is of God is a manifestation of him. If it don't line up with his word, don't believe it. Speaking of deception, we're living in the last days. We're living in times before Jesus returns. These are perilous times. And all of us face personal storms, personal disappointments, and we're weathering and we'll continue to weather national and global storms, physically as well as spiritually. But you know, in a world where everybody seems to be yelling at each other, in a world of so much insanity, of madness, of violence all around us, how desperately we need that manifestation of God that Elijah had. That still small voice to calm our storms. And maybe that's why so many people aren't hearing from God. Maybe a lot of times we're looking for something, I don't know, more noisy, more spectacular. And God does work that way sometimes. But there are some times we just simply need to get alone with Him and listen to that gentle dove and be still and know that He is God. Well, I enjoyed our time together today, and I pray everybody has a blessed week to come. And I look forward to the next time on the next episode. Once again, I would appreciate it if you would subscribe to this podcast. But before I leave you, let me just remind you of this. In a world where Satan is still the god of it, if we quiet ourselves and listen to his still small voice, remember, that's God reminding us, no matter what you're going through, I'm still with you. I'm still leading you. I still love and care for you. And I am still sovereign. I am still on my throne. Amen.